Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministry Program. This is Dan with my effervescent wife and very best friend, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, shalom, my love, and peace to all our listeners as we pray you will be blessed by tonight's Bible study, continuing with the prophet Micah. Let's bow our hearts in prayer.
Abba, Father, in whom you alone we trust and glorify, thank you for the water of your word that not only washes us clean, but provides protective strength, courage, stamina, and power that is much needed in these last days. We lift up to you our recent prayer requests for miraculous healings and salvation for our loved ones and for those who still have one foot in the world, that they might encounter a deep spiritual awakening. We rebuke all demonic forces that try to derail our focus on you. And may this study glorify and honor you. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
And amen.
All right, we have a short announcement.
Yes, a little staycay over the next 2 weeks for a little rest and a couple short road trips.
And to celebrate your birthday.
Oh, if you insist.
Mm-hmm.
So we will be playing two archived programs from the Book of Revelation on the Last Days Church and also the end of the book, Revelation 20 and 21.
The coming kingdom we can all look forward to.
And we do. And we'll be back, God willing, on the 18th of August during the first week of Teshuvah to catch up on the prophetic news and begin our yearly study on the fall feasts. And if the news warrants it, I will try to get out an early newsletter.
Right now, we have a pause in the strikes.
Not sure how long it will last.
But Iran's proxies are still causing problems.
Yeah, the proxies are for sure. Even the PA in the West Bank of Judea and Samaria. But before we go on, let me say to please tell your friends, especially those who are not familiar with God's appointments that he made with man, to be sure and join this study beginning on the 18th for a wealth of information which really connects those many eschatological dots. Especially because, yet again, just last week, I was listening to a gifted preacher who mistaught on the last trump of 1 Corinthians 15 and said it was the seventh trump of Revelation. So he concluded, we must be here for the first half of the tribulation.
So wrong.
Oh, yes, so very wrong and so very sad. But we will break it all down easily so the listeners can debunk and share truth with others because, as the Bride of Christ, we all need to share these amazing truths. It's important to show why it cannot be a mid-trib rapture and not just to say, well, you think it's a pre-trib rapture and on you go, but explain why you think it.
And we're here to help you do that.
As well, that's a depressing message to think we will be here for any of that judgment that Christ, for his bride, canceled with his blood on the cross.
And all 7 years will be a terrible time, as the six seals reveal.
Yes.
Well, there is some news today.
Well, there is, as in both President Zelensky and Prime Minister Netanyahu were in Washington today
for the funeral of pro-Israel and pro-Ukrainian Senator, Mr. Lindsey Graham.
Yeah, he'll be missed. Which is why Trump agreed to meet them, as Bibi practically insisted. So it had to be a tense meeting, and it was short this morning. Also closed to the press, with only Vice President Vance in attendance, which alarmed me. And we'll probably never know the real truth of what occurred behind those closed doors.
Yeah, only what they want us to know.
Well, of course. But Turkey is a problem for Bibi as well. And although outnumbered, he wants a complete regime change in Iran. And so do we. Which, by the way, the people in Isfahan, just south of Tehran, rose up today to prevent the public execution of two anti-IRGC Iranians.
But the IRGC opened fire at the crowd.
Yeah, which constrained them, and the hangings were completed. But the good news is that Trump clarified his statement last week on allowing Saudi Arabia to have nuclear capabilities, added now that first Saudi Arabia must join in the Abraham Accords. He probably got some increased pressure to do that. As far as the Zelensky's closed meeting earlier, before Netanyahu's in fact, I'm sure Trump, besides war talk, thanked him for hitting that Iranian ship in the Caspian Sea.
That borders northern Iran and eastern Russia.
That have been bringing weapons to Iran. And he's going to brought Trump proof of that. And that's probably how Iran has been able to keep going.
And China helps this way as well through Central Asia.
And we don't know for sure at this time, but previously, North Korea, for sure, has assisted Iran. And they helped him build their underground nuclear tunnels. And Iraq is helping, too. Now, you put that all together with Lebanon's Hezbollah, Gaza's Hamas, Yemen's Houthis, and other different groups of Iranian Shiite enemies of Israel that still remain even in Syria, and including more Hezbollah, and then also the PLO and the West Bank of Judea and Samaria, well, you have a quagmire.
So what you really mean is Iran really does have a lot of friends.
Yes, but that's just a setup for God to do his thing in Ezekiel 38. So some of Israel's enemies will have to remain to reorganize at the proper time. Just always remember, he's got this.
Okay, you can read the many newsletters or listen to any previous program on shofarministries.net. As well, sign up for our newsletters. You can also send us your questions or comments by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net. Or just call the office and leave a detailed message too, 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Please know how much we truly appreciate your love offerings, which can also be made on shofarministries.net.
Okay, Micah. A prophet of faith, even when up against the government.
Well, last we looked at the first four chapters.
Which is archived on our webpage, by the way.
Let's do a quick summary from last week.
Okay. Micah was a prophet approximately from 750 to 686 BC, who actually saw repentance when he warned Judah about their behavior and prophesied what was soon to happen to Samaria in the north by not repenting. And it came true. Assyria took the Israelites, killing many and dispersing more throughout the nations.
That's where we got the term the 10 lost tribes.
Yes, but now all 12 tribes are accounted for as existing today in Israel, making Revelation 7 very believable, where it says there will be 12,000 from each tribe to preach in Israel after we leave.
Yeah, they will be called the new first fruits.
That's right. Anyhow, Judah, seeing that Micah's prophecy came true, repented, attaining God's forgiveness. And for about 100 years, until their descendants messed up, to include not giving the land its Sabbath rest. And therefore, Babylon invaded Jerusalem and burned down Solomon's temple on the 9th of Av that we talked about 2 weeks ago. Well, last week we also talked about the false prophets in Micah's day,
who kept saying everything will be fine.
And we compared that to today's many false prophecies saying the same thing. Actually, many groups like the NAR, the Dominionists, and still others are saying that all the world will get saved before Jesus can return, as in a worldwide revival.
Yeah, you know, it's a form of post-millennialism.
Yes, it is. Even though Scripture says evil will get worse. What's really sad is these false prophets are always more popular than the true prophets with a warning judgment.
I think we call that ear tickling.
Yes. We also reminded the listeners that whenever Scripture reads in that day, it means the seventh day, which is the last 1,000 years of time.
That begins at the rapture.
Yes. And ends at the end of Christ's messianic kingdom.
When eternity begins.
Amen. Micah preached during the reign of three kings, Jotham, the very wicked Ahaz, a cannibalist, by the way, Ezekiel 19. But the next son was the good king, Hezekiah.
2 Kings and 2 Chronicles.
Micah also preached about the iniquity of covetousness and the seizing of properties committed by the government of Ahaz. Micah also pronounces a future judgment of all ruthless leaders in that day, meaning during the tribulation, along with another future destruction of Jerusalem that was then fulfilled in the first century right after Jesus.
Who also prophesied about its destruction.
Yes, he did in Matthew 24. And we finished last week when Micah begins chapter 4 by prophesying about the millennial kingdom and how Jerusalem will be restored high upon the mountain with a new king and judge.
Of course, we know that's Yeshua.
But before that, 7 years of tribulation. The night darkness of in that day. And we know that by the use of his phrase, pangs, or labor of a woman. The woman being all of Israel who will give birth, having the born-again experience.
And that should happen in the first half.
Right. At the battle of Gog and Magog. See Ezekiel 38 verse 23 and 39 verse 22.
We also explain the phrase, under his vine and fig trees.
Yes, which symbolizes the Messianic kingdom. Then we finished in chapter 4 with Micah bringing them back to their present day and telling them, to Babylon they will go, but eventually be delivered, and we know that to be in 70 years. And then he encourages them that they would be victorious against their later neighboring enemies.
And that brings us to the last three chapters.
That contains some wonderful prophecies that we are excited to talk about. Chapter 5 begins by prophesying the first coming of Christ, where they are beating him. As later was fulfilled in Matthew 26 and 27 by the Jews and the Romans. But Micah continues with a magnificent prophecy of where Jesus would actually be born.
How is Yeshua missed by so many?
I know. Micah also says he will be struck with a rod on the cheek. And the religious Jews saw that prophecy fulfilled right before their eyes.
Ah, but they only concentrated on the Torah.
True. The first five books of Moses, with very little time spent in the prophet books. In fact, the prophet Isaiah, his whole 53rd chapter, was and still is banned from Orthodox readings.
Well, like some Christians today.
Very similar in that few pastors on Sundays teach contextually from the prophet books either. And obviously, most Christians aren't complaining to them about it, and they should be.
Hey, you know, it's very sad how today only a remnant desire to understand eschatology.
Oh, most don't mind listening to others' opinions, but rarely want to spend the time doing their own homework.
Being a Berean,
right.
We always encourage that.
We do. Our true desire is to only stir you up, as Peter says. Anyhow, Micah says that although Bethlehem is a small town, a great ruler will come forth one day whose goings forth has been from everlasting.
Yeah, you know, that's a great verse for Bible skeptics.
For sure. So remember Micah 5:2 and show them this prophecy written over 500 years before Christ was ever born. And we see in verse 3 that since the Jews rejected him, he's setting them aside for a time for the Gentiles, the church age.
And after the church leaves, the tribulation begins.
Yes. The Jews come back into focus during this time of 7 years, which is also the remaining week to Daniel's prophecy that left off at 69 weeks of years for the church age, but now resume after the church age, which is why we must also leave to finish Daniel's prophecy that the church age interrupted. This 7 years for Daniel's 70th week is, as we said, also called the birth pangs.
Meaning Israel is in labor.
Yes. And who eventually repents and is reborn as a whole nation after witnessing how God intervenes for them in the Ezekiel 38 battle.
Called Gog of Magog.
Then at the end of the tribulation of 7 years, the king returns in the clouds on a white horse with us, now called his wife.
Yeah, Revelation 19:7, right after our 7-year honeymoon in heaven.
Amen, and I can't wait for that.
Mm-hmm.
Then in chapter 5, verse 5, Micah pronounces judgment on Assyria, as well as describes the future Antichrist by using one of his many titles, the Assyrian. And that's because the people in Micah's day were familiar with this wicked ruler possessed by Satan. But here, Micah was also forthtelling of yet another future ruthless leader, like the king Sargon and others of that Assyrian dynasty. So when we see the scripture for the Antichrist called the Assyrian, doesn't mean he'll be a Muslim from Syria or even from that area.
In fact, many Assyrians today are Christians.
That's true. The Assyrian is merely a title for another coming wicked ruler possessed by Satan.
Yeah, the Antichrist has many other titles as well.
Yeah, as in the King of Babylon, the Wicked Prince of Israel, the Seed of the Serpent. Actually, over 30 titles, and Revelation 13 makes it clear. He will have all the attributes of all the empires represented by the seven horns, which would entail Egypt, the first empire, then Assyria, Babylon, Medes and Persians, Greece, and Rome.
Who will be revived.
Yes. As we see in the mixed iron and the clay feet in Nebuchadnezzar's statue of Daniel 2.
Do you want to clarify what you think about the mixed clay and the iron feet?
Okay, a little side road. When Rome was in power, as shown by the iron legs, the common people, well, they had little to say. But in the coming revived Roman rule over all Europe to start, the mixed clay, which always represents the people of all faith, and many will be Muslims, who will believe the Antichrist is their awaited Mahdi. So all will join together in a one-world religion under the Antichrist's false prophet of Rome.
And also known as Mystery Babylon.
As in the new universal church, and adhere for a while, but then later will not, because the Roman ruler, the Antichrist, known as the Beast, will destroy the one-world religion known as the Harlot.
Revelation 17, verse 16.
But here's an interesting nugget. The Hebrew word for mixed is number 6151.
That's very fitting.
You want to know what it is first? It's Arab. Then in verse 7, Micah explains the 144,000 called the remnant of Jacob, who after preaching to the Jews in the first half of the tribulation, will now preach to the Gentiles during the last half of the tribulation. Remember, according to Revelation 12 and Matthew 24, the Jews now saved with those living in Jerusalem will have escaped the Antichrist by fleeing down south, where they are miraculously protected in the same area that God protected them before, in the desert of the Sinai in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, it's not Egypt as was once taught.
Right. Our eyes were opened by the Holy Spirit, and we saw Galatians 4:25. As we recognize in verse 10 and 11, that familiar phrase being used again in that day. And though verse 15, Micah prophesies that all their adversaries by the end of the tribulation will be cut off.
Yeah, in chapter 6, we read where God gives them a long scolding.
Mm-hmm. And reminds them of all that God has done for them. By the way, we often see governments referred to as mountains in Scripture. And they're very hard to move. But here, God says, to speak to me, this mountain, and plead your case.
And then he says, what have I done to you?
Yes, they do their sacrifices, but what he really wants for them to do is in verse 8, to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly, and then continues to berate the wicked for their false gods, their wicked trade deals, dishonesty, their lying tongues, and finishes the chapter describing their punishment all the way through to the tribulation. Chapter 7 is certainly describing the tribulation, for there are key words that help us discern this very particular time in the upcoming days.
Yeah, he begins by describing the fall harvest.
We know that the tribulation begins in the fall at the time of the fall feast. At his first coming, he gave his life during the spring feast of Passover, and many scriptures point that he will return in the fall, first secretly calling up his bride on the Feast of Trumpets, and that 7 years later, also in the fall, will return on a Yom Kippur to set up his kingdom and then usher in the Feast of Tabernacles.
Also his earthly birthday.
So verse 1 states it will be at the time of gleaning the vintage grapes. And verse 2, it's my favorite Old Testament rapture verse. The faithful has a, well, let's tell you what the Hebrew word is, and it's abad. Now, the English says perished, but in this case, contextually, means to escape. So let's do that again, verse 2.
The faithful has escaped from the earth, and there is no one upright among men.
Well, that makes total sense, because at the moment of the rapture, there will be no one left at that moment of time that will be righteous, because we will all have left. By the way, Jesus used the same escapism terminology in Luke 21, verse 36. Those worthy will escape the coming judgment. Verse 5 and 6, he even tells them to trust no one, not even family, over God, but rather look to God for their salvation. Micah prophesies of Israel's repentance then and again during the tribulation, as we see more end-time phrases like the indignation, and three more times he uses in that day with more descriptive warnings of a coming punishment. Chapter 7 closes with forgiving words of comfort and shepherding as in the days of old, and shows them great wonders where the nations will see their demise like the serpent. God will pardon their iniquity, for he cannot retain his anger forever, for he delights in mercy, as he promised to Abraham's descendants from days long ago. The Aaronic blessing, the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time. Sha'alu Shalom Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, well, shall prosper. Psalm 122. So, we'll be back on the 18th. Be sure to tell a friend. And in the meantime, also tell them the gospel. Tell them about Jesus and that he's coming back. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.